I don't know about you, but I had a lot of fun writing that skit, and the kids did a great job of performing it. I will say that everyone that is involved in service, all the kids that are involved in some way, they've done an amazing job, and I can't take credit for any of it because we've been here since June. So all the skill and talent that you can see up here is a direct result of Kevin and Pam and Brianna and the Hansons and everyone who has poured into them. So they deserve all the credit, not me, for the stuff that's gone on. I wanted to take some time today when we Byron and I were discussing this sermon and what it would be. I wanted to take some time to introduce you to some of the kids and to just kind of show you and introduce myself and how I would handle things with kids, just so you get a little idea of who I am and what we've done. I will tell you that I'm just coming off of fall retreat. It was last weekend. We took 28 kids to Wonder Valley, and this is how amazing our weekend was. We had 28 kids, and I didn't hear a single complaint the entire weekend. So the kids seemed to have fun, and they seemed to do a really good job. It was an amazing weekend. When Byron and I started to discuss this sermon and what we talk about, he said, well, I think we should have kind of a Thanksgiving-themed sermon. And I thought, what better Thanksgiving-themed sermon than Job? You know, kids today are dealing with pain. They're dealing with frustrations. They're suffering through all of this. And a lot of times we as adults like to look at kids and say, well, you don't have to worry about a job, and you don't have to worry about your 401k, and you don't have to worry about all this other stuff. What do you really have to suffer through? Well, statistics show us that in 2015, the rate of suicide in teenage girls reached a 40-year high. We don't even have accurate numbers on the number of teens that are self-injuring and cutting themselves because they're not going to come and tell us what's going on. We don't know the pain and suffering that kids are going through, but we know that they're going through it. Now, Job has a special place in my heart. And when kids come to talk to me about pain and suffering, a lot of times I like to talk to them about Job and the things that Job had to go through and the personal story that he has for me. You see, May 2014 was a really bad month for me. In May 2014, Jennifer discovered a lump that we weren't sure exactly what it was. She went to the doctor. The doctor said, I don't think it's anything, but go to a specialist anyway. So my mind is freaking out about everything that's going on. Then I got a letter from the school where I was teaching that said, hey, at the end of May, you no longer have a job. We are going to be laying you off. My brain went from 0 to 60 like that. I went from, I no longer have a job, which means I'm not going to get paid, which means I don't have health insurance. My wife's going to get diagnosed with breast cancer. I'm not going to be able to afford the insurance. She's going to have chemo and radiation that I can't pay for and she can't have. And you can see where things are going. Then, it's not over yet. Then, 3 days before the end of school, I developed a really nasty boil on the back of my right foot. If you ever had one of those, they are painful. I had to pack my classroom and get everything out of my class because I'd been laid off, and I could hardly walk. It was a really, really bad month. So I come to our kids that we're teaching Sunday school class, and I come to them and I said, hey, it's time to pick a new book for our Sunday school class. I would really like it if you guys would pick James because I need some encouragement, and I would really love it if you would pick James. And they said, no, we don't want to study James. We'd really like to study Job. And I think my exact words were, God has a really funny sense of humor, doesn't he? So I agreed to start reading through the book of Job with them, and I found that if you really pay attention to Job and you really read it and understand it, it can be very encouraging to you. So I want to try and show kind of my thinking and how I would lead someone through pain and suffering and dealing with Job. So let's pray that I can accomplish that today. God, we love you and thank you for being the God that you are, that we have the ability to come before you and praise you and worship you, that we have the ability to come to your throne and to praise you for all that you do. We pray that you be with us right now as we dig into your word, that you give me the words to say, that they are your words and not mine, that you just guide this time right now, that it brings glory to your name. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. So when kids come to me with suffering, some of the things I really like to talk to kids about when they're suffering is I love to show them the music that they listen to and how the music that we listen to demonstrates the suffering. If you don't think that kids are suffering, let's take a minute. We're gonna listen to a few songs that are on the radio today, and I want you to see if you can pick out the pain and suffering that are in these songs. I fully believe that if Job had a playlist that he was listening to while he was going through his suffering, many of those songs would have been on there. Especially the Theory of a Dead Man's song, when he says, "Why, oh why, does God hate me?" If you pay attention to Job, he says things like that in here. As we look at the trials and tribulations of Job, he asks three questions. Three questions get asked during this. Those questions are, is God just? Does he run the universe with justice? And if so, how is Job's suffering explained? So Job and his friends ask these questions constantly. 37 chapters of Job, they ask these three questions. Is God a just God? Is he justice? And if he is, does he run the universe with justice? And if he does, how do you explain how an upright man like Job is suffering? Because they also have this belief that when you do good things should happen to you, and when you do bad things should happen to you. They fully believe the questions, why do bad things happen to a good person? Or, why do good things happen to a bad person? So Job and his friends ask three awesome questions, and they never get answered in the rest of the book. God never comes down and says, hey, let me share with you the answer to your questions. God comes down and shares how to deal with suffering. Job says in Job chapter 31, he says, if only someone would listen to me. Look, I will sign my name to my defense. Let the Almighty answer me. Let my accuser write out his charges against me. See, Job is coming to God and saying, listen, are you a just God? And if you're a just God, why is this stuff happening to me? Let me talk to you. Let me show you what's really going on here. Then Job follows this up in chapter 9, and he says, God is not a mortal like me, so I cannot argue with him or take him to trial. If only there were a mediator between us, someone who could bring us together. The mediator could make God stop beating me, and I would no longer live in terror of his punishment. Then I could speak to him without fear. But I cannot do that on my own strength. See, when a kid comes to me and they bring their pain and their trials and everything that's going on, I listen to them. I let them tell me what's going on. Because if you belittle someone's pain, it just makes it hurt worse. I listen to them. Tell me what's going on. And then I point out to them these words of Job. Because there's a lot of truth in here. One of the best ways to deal with pain is to understand that we need a mediator. We need someone to come between us and God. We have that. We're told in Hebrews chapter 4, so then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weakness, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find the grace to help us when we need it most. You see, right there in Hebrews, we're told we have a mediator. We have someone to go between us and God and to let God know what's going on. Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they fulfill those needs in our lives. When a kid comes to me and says, I am just in utter pain, I say, you need a mediator. You need someone to take care of this. Now, a common response to this is, well, Jesus doesn't understand my pain. Jesus doesn't understand what I'm going through. How can Jesus understand the temptations that I have to face? really? So Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights and didn't eat the entire time. And then Satan shows up and says, hey, why don't you turn those stones into bread? You don't think in the back of Jesus' mind, he was like, ooh, some bread sounds really good right now. And Satan's pretty crafty. I think Satan kind of changed the wind, and there was a Subway nearby. I don't know if you've ever walked in a Subway when they're baking the bread. Oh, it's heavenly. So I imagine there was a Subway nearby, and Satan changed the wind, and as Jesus is sitting there, his stomach starts to grumble, and then he smells freshly baked bread. I believe the temptation was there for Jesus to do that. People say, well, Jesus doesn't understand the pain I'm in. He doesn't understand what it's like to lose a friend. Jesus understood what it was like to lose a friend. When he comes to Mary and Martha and they're going through pain because of the loss of their brother, Jesus feels that pain. He wept because he saw the pain that they were going through and he knew it. It was real. Even though he knew he was getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead, it was still real pain that he was going through. Well, Jesus doesn't understand what it's like to be betrayed by your best friend. Really? Jesus spent 3 years traveling around with the same group of guys. For 3 years, they were together all the time. And in the course of one day, one of his friends betrayed him to the Romans for his eventual death, and another one of his closest friends, betrayed him 3 times by the end of the night. In one day, he gets led off to be killed, and one of his best friends says, I don't even know the guy. I don't know who you're talking about. See, Jesus has been through all of this. He's been through it all. He knows what we're going through. He says, I'm here. Come to me. I understand it. I get it. When Elizabeth was a baby, I don't even know what she was doing. She was doing something. Babies do stuff all the time. And someone came to me and gave me some parental advice. She was a teenager in college, and she had learned in psychology class how you were supposed to handle this situation. I looked at her, I smiled, and completely ignored everything that she had to say. Why? She has absolutely no clue how to raise a kid. You learned this in a college class, and you want to tell me how to properly raise... No. You don't know everything that's gone on. You don't know why she's crying. You don't know why this is happening. You have no clue. I do not take parental advice from people who do not have kids. I do not take marriage advice from people who are not married. Because they don't know. Can we take advice on Jesus from Jesus on how to deal with stuff? Yes. He's been there. He has been through everything that we've gone through, and he did it without sinning. Do we need help? Yes, and he's the perfect one to do it. When we come back to the idea of is God just and does he run the universe with justice, we get confused sometimes, and we only see a portion of the battlefield. We see exactly what's in front of us. Right now I'm watching a show that's on Amazon Prime. It was an HBO series. It's called Band of Brothers. It's about the 101st Airborne when they came in from D-Day till the end of the war. And it's interesting to see the perspective of the soldiers. They can see their portion of the battlefield. They don't understand everything else that's going on around them. That's what the officers are there for. They understand the entire front. They know what's going on. You see, sometimes when we deal with pain, we need to see things from his perspective. We need to be able to look from God's perspective and understand what's going on. God shows up in Job chapter 38, and this is what God says. God says, the Lord answered Job from the whirlwind. Who is it that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man, because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. I really like this in the King James. It says, gird up your loins like a man, and let me question you. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you know so much. Who determined its dimensions and stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundations, and who laid its cornerstone? As the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy, who kept the sea inside its boundaries as it burst forth from the womb? And as I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it with thick darkness, For I locked it behind barred gates, limiting its shores. I said, this far and no farther you will come. Here your proud waves must stop. See, we have to see things from God's perspective. I'm not belittling pain at all. Pain hurts. It is horrible. When pain goes on in our lives, we need to see things from God's perspective and have an understanding of what's going on. This might help. This rope here, this rope represents eternity. This little black section right here represents our life on earth. This represents our time on the planet. And you know, the funny thing is, we spend a lot of time worrying about this little black section. I want to do well in school so that I can get into a good college, and then I can get the job that I want, and then I can work for a while, and then I can get to the point where I can retire in luxury and I can do all I want. We focus a lot on this black section when we have eternity that we should be thinking about. You know, we spend a lot of time worrying about the pain that we're going through right here. All the things that we have to go through. One of the things I focus on, man, there are some really nasty people in this world. And man, they've got some really good stuff. How can you allow that to happen? Where's your justice, God? Because in this section right here, it doesn't seem like there's any justice. But guess what? In this section here, that's all there is God's justice. Right now, my family and I are kind of going through a little frustration. We lived in Illinois for about 3 years. If anyone ever asks you to move to Illinois, the answer is no. I will not move to Illinois. See, the problem is everyone is moving out of Illinois and no one is moving into Illinois. So we have a house that we've been trying to sell since we moved here. It hasn't sold yet. It's been a very frustrating time for us, trying to deal with, God, just sell the house. What's going on? You realize, God, if you could sell the house, then we could get a house here in Ellettsville, and we could actually be here. We can be settled. We can have life here the way we want it. God, why do you hate me? Why can't you just sell the house? Do you know what? It doesn't matter. Because I have a mansion in eternity. I'm having housing problems right now on earth. Who cares? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? We got four people and we live in a two-bedroom apartment. Is it worth it? I think so. Funny thing is, we're actually a lot closer now than we've ever been. Chris sleeps in the living room. He loves it. He gets to be a part of the family. He can sit and read, and he still gets to be a part of all the conversations that are going on. He loves it. You know, Jennifer wakes up in the morning to do her stretching. He sleeps through it. I don't know how he sleeps through it, but he does. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what our housing situation is right now, because I've got a mansion waiting for me in heaven. That brings up the last thing that I would tell a kid. I would tell kids, hey, your suffering is real. You need a mediator. You need someone as a go-between. We have that. It's Jesus. Your suffering is real. But you need to see the entire perspective. You need to see why it's going on. The third thing that we need to look at is pain one day will end. Eventually, you get to the end of the tape, and you got eternity of not having to deal with that. You don't have to deal with that suffering anymore. Once you get to the end of that tape, you know, God says, I'm going to give you about 120 years. What's 120 years? Compared to eternity. It's amazing the difference there. Someday your pain is going to end. I can remember my aunt's funeral. My aunt, she passed away a few years ago, and her funeral was on a Monday, so the visitation was on Sunday. We all went down to Kentucky to be there for the visitation. Sunday morning, it came time for church. We went to her church Sunday morning. Her son sang in the worship band. Her other son played bass in the worship band. We had a worship service that started Sunday morning and ended at the funeral. I can remember, we're all sitting, we were singing I Can Only Imagine. And we're all just crying, bawling. Kleenexes were freely flowing. And we were just like, we were having a worship service. And Jennifer looked at me and she said, I am so jealous because we're sitting down here right now singing. I can only imagine what's going to be like. And she's at the feet of Jesus right now praising him in person. It was an awesome funeral. I mean, we put her Bible in her casket, and the Bible was worn because she read it like crazy. Because, you know, a worn out Bible is a good sign of a life that isn't. And she's got this worn out Bible that she used all the time. I know exactly where my aunt is. I know where she is right now. She's with my uncle right now in heaven. They're praising God together. It's awesome. One day, pain comes to an end. People say that the sting of the rockfish is one of the worst pains they've ever imagined because they don't know when the pain is going to end. If you're in Australia and you step on a rockfish, when they take you to the hospital, there's nothing they can do for it. There's no drug, there's no medicine, there's no remedy. You're going to be in pain for a while. It's so bad that people ask to have their legs cut off because they don't know when the pain is going to end. We know when the pain is going to end. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal in us later. This man knows a thing or two about pain. Paul has been beaten times without number. He's been left for dead on multiple occasions, shipwrecked twice. Once he had to cling to a piece of driftwood for a day and night at sea. This man knows pain and suffering. He knows that his life is going to end very shortly in his beheading. He knows this stuff is going to go on, but he still writes these words. What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for one day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. Can we explain why pain happens in this world? The world has been frustrated. We know eventually it's going to end. When we go through the pain and suffering that we do, we know we can look forward to the end. We can see that pain eventually is going to stop. But we can't see that now. Because it's like Paul said, if we have something, we don't need to hope for it. Christmas is coming up. And I was looking online one day, and I found what I wanted for Christmas. And so I told Jennifer, I said, Jennifer, this is what I want for Christmas. And she looked at me and said, okay, order it. So I ordered it. My Christmas present is sitting on my dresser in my room. I see it every day. It's a lovely salute to the military Colts hat. It's lovely, but I can't wear it yet. She told me I can't. I've tried it on, but don't tell her. I see it every day. Every morning I wake up and I look at my hat. Christmas morning when it's opening presents, do you think I'm going to be like, ooh, I wonder what's in this box? I already know. I'm still going to enjoy it because then I actually get to wear the hat that I've been looking at this entire time. See, that's why we hide Christmas presents. Because it needs to be enjoyable. It needs to be fun when we open them because we have no idea what's in the box. If God were to give us that hope now, if God were to run this universe with the justice that we perceive and say, well, if I do good, then God should do good to me. And if I do bad, then God should do bad to me. Well, then when we get to eternity, when we get to heaven and we're standing there before God and we say, well, listen, God, look at all the good things I've done. That's why you've treated me so nicely my entire life. I should get into heaven because of what I have done for you. It's not the way it works. We get into heaven because of what Jesus has done for us. We get to look to him for that hope. We don't get to earn it ourselves. So how do we deal with pain and suffering in this world? How do we deal with the stuff that's going on? We need to realize that we have a mediator. We have Jesus who has been through it, knows exactly what we're going through, and is there for us. We need to see things from his perspective. Doesn't make sense to me what's going on. You're right, it doesn't. It's like homework. Does homework ever make sense? Kids always come and say, I don't know why I've got to do all of this homework. It makes absolutely no sense. Until they take the test. And then all that homework paid off. Because we can only see things from our perspective. And when we see things from his perspective, we realize that eventually pain will end. Horatio Spafford was a successful businessman in Chicago in the late 1800s. 1871, his youngest son died of pneumonia. And then that very same year was the Great Chicago Fire, and he lost almost all of his business. But he was a God-fearing man. He worked steadily, and he rebuilt his business. Then in 1873, he decided that his family, he and his wife and four daughters, needed to go on vacation, so they planned a trip to Europe. He sent his family ahead because something came up at the last minute and he had to stay behind and take care of something. 4 days into the journey, their boat struck another boat and sank. 272 of the 313 passengers died, including his four children. His wife made it to Wales, and as soon as she made it there, she sent a telegram to her husband and said, "Saved alone. What shall I do?" A pastor was nearby and overheard her talking and overheard her say these words, "God gave me four daughters. Now they have been taken from me. Someday I'll understand why." Horatio dropped everything that he was doing. He booked the next passage to Europe and he got on the boat. And when the boat reached the point where his family had died, the captain came to him and said, "This is where your four daughters are buried." And he wrote these words, "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Band's going to come right now, and they're going to lead us through that song. I love that hymn. It's one of my favorites. They're going to lead us through this. And Troy said this a million times, there's nothing special about the stairs. If you're going through something right now and you need to just bring it to your mediator, you need to bring it to God and say, "God, I need to see this from your perspective." I'm going to invite you to come forward and come to the stairs and pray. See, God is our mediator, and he's there for us and understands it. He says in James, you know, if you come to me asking for wisdom, I'm not going to tell you no. We come to him and say, "God, I need to see this from your perspective." He's going to help us. And remember, eventually, the pain ends, and we get to spend eternity with our Savior. Let's pray. Now, dear God, we just thank you so much for being the God that you are. We thank you that you do love us so much that you did come and live on earth to be the perfect mediator, to say, "I know what you're going through. I've been there." We thank you for that. Thank you for the fact that eventually we get to spend eternity with you in heaven. And it makes all of this just seem trivial. We thank you for that, Lord. Pray that you be with us for the rest of this service, that we can honor you and worship you. For it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.